In our students' class, we're going through the book of Philippians, studying through that, and we've kind of done a big overview of things, and now we're starting to go chapter by chapter. And we started that chapter Sunday, chapter 1, looking through that and pointing out some things and discussing some things. And in verses 1 and 2, we get Paul addressing the saints to Philippi. And in verse 1, he says, Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi. And he also names the overseers and deacons. Verse 2 says, grace to you, peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And so where we kind of stopped and kind of did a little bit of word study is what I want to share with you guys tonight, kind of some of the things that we saw. And the first word is in chapter 1, verse 1, the word servant. That's how Paul and Timothy describe themselves, servants of Christ Jesus. And then the second word that's really closely tied to that is in verse 2, peace from God our Father and peace from the Lord Jesus Christ. So this word, servant, y'all know me, I only speak one language, English. I never learned Spanish. I certainly can't speak Greek or Hebrew. So all this that I want to share with you is secondhand information. I'm not a Greek scholar telling you the Greek, right? But this word servant, the Greek word is doulos. And that word means a little bit something more than servant. And that's what I wanted to see tonight. As we study through Scripture, we're looking at Jude on Sunday mornings. And Jude 1:1, Jude describes himself as a servant of Christ. And that's what my translation says, the ESV. King James will say servant, sometimes bond servant. But in looking at the Greek and the Hebrew, when we look at Old Testament Scripture, that's not probably the best translation. And again, I'm not belittling Bible translators. They're genius people. I'm not talking down or bad about Bible translators, but I do want us to be aware that the original Greek, the original Hebrew, meant something a little bit more than bond servant or servant that our English translators translated this word into. And I hope I can show that to you for no other reason than as Christians, disciples, learners of God's word, when we read these scriptures and we see the word servant or bond servant, I want it to kind of click a light in our brains. Oh, that is the doulos word. And I hope to kind of share some insights with you from that. So that's kind of where we're looking at. And then the word Lord, Kyrios, is master. And so those two are kind of linked together. You can't have a master if you don't have a slave. And you can't be a slave if you don't have a master. And so the word doulos, by everything that, again, I can research, the word doulos would be better translated as slave instead of servant or bond servant. And there's a little bit of difference there. Servant is somebody hired to do something, where slave, someone is owned. There's a difference there. You could you can be a servant of more than one master, right? You can serve many households. You can have a day job and an evening job. But slave, no, you are owned by one. You know, Matthew, Jesus tells us, no man can serve two masters. So, again, I'm not, my intention is not to talk down to Bible translators. That is the furthest thing from my mind. I just want us to have an awareness of what this doulos word that's translated as servant might be better translated to English as slave. The word doulos, again, in Scripture, it always means slave. The context of that word, it means slave. It comes from a root Greek word that means to bind or to tie, something to be bound or to throw in chains. So you could see from that root word that we get the word doulos, that definition, you could see how bond servant might make sense. And bond, absolutely, it has the idea of being tied to something, bound to something. But again, the word servant, maybe it should be bond slave is the point that I want you to try to see instead of bond servant. Another reason is there are about six Greek words that can mean servant. And none of those Greek words are used when talking about these scriptures that we're going to look at. The word doulos is used, which means slave. And so again, if they meant something other than slave, why not use another one of these words that mean servant? As I was looking at some background for this, trying to figure out kind of where the change happened, why isn't it translated slave, I found a sermon by John MacArthur from 2010, and I want to let you know some of the historical background that I'm about to give you comes from that sermon. It was titled Servant or Slave. And what I kind of learned from this, trying to find out, okay, where did the change happen? So we got to go back to about the 16th century. So once you get past the 70s of 1970, everything's just kind of a blur to me, right? But this is 16th century, all right, so way back. And around that time, the first English Bible was being put together. It's called the Geneva Bible. So this would be before the King James Version Bible. This would be the Geneva Bible. It was being translated, and it was decided that the stigma of slave was just, there was just too much attached to that. It was too strong. And I get that. I totally understand why you might think that. Even in the 16th century, with slavery going on before then, and then, you know, in our American history, many, you know, a few centuries later, I can get that. There's a stigma attached to that word. But there was also a stigma in first century Rome when the Holy Spirit moved these men to write that word. One in five citizens of Rome were slaves. So if there was ever a stigma attached to slavery, it would have been in the first century, right? When it was still happening, still going on. And yet the Holy Spirit chose doulos to be written. And again, all those times, it means slave. It doesn't follow the definition of those other words that can mean servant. 800 times in the Old Testament, and it's not doulos in the Old Testament, it's a different word, and 150 times in the New Testament, the word for slave is used. And in almost all those times in our English translations, it's a word other than slave used. It's bondservant or servant. You might see the word slave used as being a slave to righteousness or a slave to sin. It's used, it's translated slave in those instances. But when it refers to the Christian, it's usually servant or bondservant most all those times. And so the why is that? So we want to look at that. And again, the stigma of first century or the stigma of the word slavery in the 16th century with those translators. But again, as we kind of look back on that and can definitely understand why they might do that, I want us to know as we study the scripture being translated for us when we see those words. Okay, now I see that word, and that word has a little bit more behind it than just being a servant of Christ. A Christian is a slave of Christ. So with that thought in mind, let's look at some scripture to hopefully help us get a good grasp of what that means. Again, we see Paul referring to he and Timothy as slaves of Christ Jesus. And in verse 2 of Philippians 1, peace from God our Father and the Lord Master Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, and I'll be flipping there with you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he's given them some instruction, commanded them to love one another as Christ has been a model of that love. In John 15, we'll start in verse 12. Jesus tells the disciples, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Okay, here we go. Verse 14. You are my friend if you do what I command you. Okay, so if we just grab that verse out of the middle of Jesus speaking there, that doesn't quite follow the definition of friend. You are my friend if you do what I command you. There's something missing there. We got to keep reading. So no longer do I call you doulos, slaves. And we said, now, wait a minute, Keith. You just got through the last 8 minutes trying to convince us that we are slaves. And now Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves. We got to put them together. Let's keep going. No longer, verse 15, do I call you servants, doulos, for the doulos does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You see what he's done? I have called you friends. Who are friends? Look at verse 14 again. Friends are the ones who do what I command you. We're no longer servants, but friends because all that I have heard from my Father, Jesus says in 15, I have made known to you. Now say 14, because you do what I command you. You are my friends. You see that progression there? So the perfect master, under his authority, his lordship, he doesn't mistreat his slave. He goes much further. He calls them friends. He makes them heirs. He calls them to be sons and daughters of God. And we'll look at that a little bit more. But it's so good. I do want you to see the language that is used there when Jesus is talking about who we are in him. Look with me in Jude 1. We're looking at there on Sunday mornings with Brother Frank. So Paul, like I said in Philippians 1:1, he calls he and Timothy slaves of Christ. Paul referred to himself in that way in Romans 1:1. He was a slave of Christ. In Titus, Paul refers to himself as a slave of Christ. But it's not just Paul that sees himself that way. Look at Jude. The first verse of Jude, a doulos, a slave of Jesus Christ and brother of James, right? We've looked at that with Brother Frank. And he mentions James there. If you don't have to, but if you turn over to James 1:1, James refers to himself as a slave of Christ, a doulos of Christ. So it's not just one disciple phrasing it this way. We see Jesus talking that way, and we see James and Jude as well. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6. This is the word is not used here, but the idea of being a slave of Christ is used. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Let's look over there for a moment. 1 Corinthians 6. We'll start at verse 19. So 1 Corinthians 6, this is Paul writing to the church of Corinth. And this little section of his letter, he is instructing them on personal discipline, having purity in their lives as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, to abstain from the sexual immorality that they have been brought out of in Christ. And in verse 19, you guys, this verse is so familiar. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. It's a little more than servant. You're not your own. Why am I not my own? Verse 20, because I have been bought with a price. I have been bought. That's that imagery of the slave and master relationship. I have been bought. I'm not in charge. I'm not my own. I've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. So see that language of ownership that is there. Again, Jesus teaching in Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. You'll love one and hate the other. That is just our relationship that is there. Look at Galatians with me. Again, another idea where the word doulos is used here in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 1. So Galatians 1, verse 10. So Paul asked the question here, for am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Am I trying to please man? And then he answers his own question. If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a doulos of Christ. If I were trying to please man, I would be a servant of man. Because remember, the doulos is the one that you're tied to, the one that you are devoted to. Devoted to and not even regarding your own well-being. So Paul says, that's my relationship to Christ. I'm a slave of Christ. And that kind of echoes back Jesus' teaching. You are my friends if you do what I command you. So Paul said, I am doing what my master, my friend, commands me. I'm a slave of Christ. There in Galatians 1:10. In many instances in history, slavery was horrendous, abusive, demeaning, demoralizing, unspeakable. But in some cultures, there are relationships where it did work in a better way. And God gave the Israelites a standard and how it would work when he brought them into the new land. And it's in Deuteronomy. I want us to look at that. I think it'd give us a great, great picture of what the Holy Spirit meant when he led these men to write this word doulos. Again, it's a different word in the Hebrew, but very similar relationship. So Deuteronomy 15. So Deuteronomy, the last book of the Pentateuch, the books of Moses. And Moses is very old now. They're about to be given the promised land to go into. And God gives Moses the instructions on how they are to live in this new land. And in Deuteronomy 15, we get the teaching that God gives the Israelites on something called a release, is how it's translated in my scripture here. In 15 verse 1, it says, at the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor shall release what he has lent to his neighbor, and shall not exact it of his neighbor, his brother, because the Lord's release has been proclaimed. So again, and this is a common pattern. You'll say, why in the world would the Lord direct them to do something like this? And it was always because it was a picture. It was a reminder of something the Lord had done for them. And so here in these scriptures, why would you release someone after 7 years? Because the Lord's release has been proclaimed. And again, they knew about slavery. They had been enslaved for 400 years to the Egyptians, and it was not a good, it was an oppressive slavery, right? So they knew about that. And so the next few verses, it kind of goes on and talks about people that you lend money to, and this, once a 7 year period comes around, you would release them from that debt, right? And it goes through a few verses. But then in verse 12, we get to our subject that we're talking about. In verse 12, by some way, somehow, you have a Hebrew who is a slave. It doesn't really give any stipulations on the reasoning. But in verse 12, it says, if your brother, a Hebrew man, or a Hebrew woman is sold to you. So if they're sold to you, again, that's not servant. That is slavery, okay? If it's sold to you, he shall serve you 6 years. And in the seventh year, you shall let him go free from you. So again, this idea of release that was instituted about debt extends to people also. All right, you shall let him go free from you. And when you let him go free from you, you shall not let him go empty handed. Again, this is going to paint a very different picture than what my mind thinks of when I think of slavery. You shall not let him go empty handed. Verse 14, you shall furnish him liberally out of your flock, out of your threshing floor, out of your wine press. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. And so we see a very different definition, what we might think of as slavery, that God has laid out in how they were to treat one another here. But here's where I want to come to. This is where the example, I think, can include us and Christ being our master. So at the end of 14 is where I left off. As the Lord your God has blessed you, you shall give to him. Why? Why would I give this person these things when his 6 years of work are up? It's an example. Verse 15, you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you. He bought you. Therefore, I command you this today. So that's why they were to do this transaction this way. 16. But if he says to you, I will not go out from you, because he loves you and he loves your household, he is well off with you. That word, well off, this is one of those times I wish we spoke Hebrew. Hebrew, yes, because I feel like there's so much there. But the definitions of this phrase, well off, it's favorable for this slave. It's joyful for this slave. Pleasing. That's kind of the idea, the definition behind this word. He says, I will not go from you because he loves you. He loves your household, and it is pleasing, joyful, and favorable being with you as my master, is what the man is saying. If the slave says that, then you will take an awl, put it through his ear into the door, and he shall be your doulos, They translate it correctly here, slave forever. And to your female slave, you shall do the same. So why would someone who, after 6 years, can the debt can be erased, can go free, and he says, I want to stay. I know I could go, I want to stay. Because he loves you and your household as the master. It is well off with him. This is the picture I want to try to keep in my mind as I study through Scripture and I see this word doulos used. I'm a slave of a righteous, perfect, holy master. The Lord Jesus Christ is my master. And it is well off with me being with him. It is pleasing. It is joyful. It is good for me. It's favorable for me to be his slave. So that's the idea. That's the picture I want us to remember as we study through. And you see bond servant or you see servant and it's talking about the Christian. Remember, it's the slave of the righteous God who has made us and called us a friend, a son, and a daughter. He has given us an inheritance. He has made us right with the Father. He has granted us entrance into the kingdom of heaven. That is our master. That's what he has done to this one who says, I love you. You are my master. You are my Lord. I am your slave. Christ Jesus. Let's go back to where we started. One last verse. Back to Philippians. And students, we'll get to this next time because it's in chapter 2. So Philippians 2. Philippians 2. This should cause us to love our master all the more. Jesus has bought us. We've seen the scripture. We are not our own. He bought us not with silver or gold. He bought us with blood. We are his slaves. He is our master. We are loved. We are rewarded. And he has done this in the most sacrificial way. When you think about who Christ is, God in human flesh, Philippians 2 gives us an example of how he paid us, how he redeemed us. Paul is encouraging the Philippian believers to love one another with Christ-like love, to put others before themselves. And then in verse 5, have this mind among yourselves, this way of thinking, which is yours in Christ Jesus. And he takes a moment just to talk about his master, Christ Jesus. And in verse 6, talking about Christ, talking about our Lord Jesus, he says, who, though Jesus was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a doulos, by taking the form of a slave. Being born in the likeness of men, being found in human form, he humbled himself, Jesus did, by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And in becoming that for us, he gained the authority to redeem us as his possession, giving us the right to be called children, slaves, yes, but children of God. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ for his redeeming power on us. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you so much for your redeeming work that you have accomplished completely through Jesus Christ. The grace, the faith, the mercy that you have extended to us while we were still sinners, slaves of unrighteousness. You redeemed us, bought us with the blood of Christ, and have made us slaves of righteousness, sons of God, given us an inheritance, given us a new heart, given us a new and living way through Christ Jesus. God, I pray that you would give us a desire to continue to study, continue to learn your word, not so that we can just be a hearer of it, but a faithful slave doer of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the power and the ability, the desire to do those things. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you've given me to stand before your church and to share your word. Thank you for your many, many blessings that you've given to us as this local body. Help us to be ready to give an account always of the hope that is in us, that you have placed in us. And it's in the name of Christ I do ask. Be with our pastor. Strengthen him in his body. Amen.